Live from our nation's capital, it's the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
From Washington. I'm your host, Mark Levine, reporting live from the Center for American Progress in Washington, D.C. Hillary Clinton, running for president, took a break from policy. She made a break from the president of the United States, from Barack Obama, over policy. They disagree on something. Did you hear about it? I don't think there was much reported about it, but Hillary Clinton disagrees with Barack Obama's proposal to allow drilling in the Arctic Ocean. Did you know that? So, basically, an oil company, Royal Dutch Shell, has been trying for many years to drill for oil in the Arctic Ocean. Now, the Arctic Ocean, of course, is the ocean around the Arctic Circle, around the North Pole. We only have one state that borders the Arctic Ocean. That is Alaska. Canada, obviously, is around it as well, as Russia's got a good part of the Arctic Ocean. And the last little bit is owned by Denmark, which owns the island of Greenland. But this is a part of the world that used to be iced over all the time. You may remember, if you studied the discoverers of the 15th and 16th century, they were always looking for a northwest passage. Ferdinand Magellan showed that you could go around the South American continent to get to sail west, to get east, to get to Asia via going west. But everyone wanted to know, what was the northern route? How could you get northwest? How could you go around? The great explorer, Dutch explorer, in fact, Hudson, decided to explore, thought he made it around, and just ended up in Hudson's Bay. It was really, really hard to do the Northwest Passage. It was generally iced over. Not so much anymore due to climate change, due to mankind warming the planet. The Arctic ice is melting faster than ever in human history, and it's leading to good old commercial opportunities. So the same oil, the same fossil fuels that has burned so much that it has disrupted our climate is melting the ice and is threatening our coastlines and low-lying countries all over the world, islands being washed over, now is saying, aha, we've actually cleared the ice. Let us drill there. And to my surprise, President Obama has agreed to do it. Hillary Clinton, to her credit, opposes it. So what's the problem with drilling up there? After all, we drill down in the Gulf, and it's not like anything's ever gone wrong. So there was a massive oil spill in the Gulf, but they cleaned up most of it, right? I mean, we only had tar sands dead pelicans throughout the Gulf of Mexico for a year or two. Think how much more awful would be an oil spill on ice, or more particularly under ice. You thought it was hard to clean up the Gulf Coast on a bright summer day? You thought it was hard to go down there and cap that hole in 90-degree weather on an ocean in the middle of the Gulf of Mexico? Think how much more difficult it would be in the middle of winter to cap an ice spill, to close a hole spewing oil underneath the entire Arctic Circle. It would be well nigh impossible. And Hillary Clinton has said so. And good for her. The real question is, why is President Obama actually supporting it at all? Do we need more oil? If you've been watching financial markets over the past year or so, you've seen oil go down to price levels that it hasn't seen in years. You see, it's hard to complain. Gasoline costs are down. But oil prices have hit all new lows. In fact, many would say that that's the reason why our economy is suffering a bit. That's why the markets are down, because oil prices are going down so low. Iran is about to sell a bunch of oil because of the Obama deal. And Saudi Arabia is trying to keep up, and they're putting a glut on the oil. And America, by doing fracking, which I also oppose, but basically breaking up shale oil, the shale underneath the ground, is becoming a fantastic oil producer. Do we need more oil? Well, you say, well, what about the future? After all, if they drill in the Arctic ice now, it's not like anything will come online for 30 years anyway. To which I say, exactly the point. If we're not going to need this oil for 30 years, don't you think in 30 years we could be off fossil fuels? Off this polluted carbon dioxide that is basically causing global warming? I mean, we had a century or two on fossil fuels, okay. But don't you think in 30 years we could have better solar batteries, better wind turbines, better geothermal energy, better hydroelectric power? I mean, green power is already going around the globe. Heck, even a country like Germany, not known for its hot desert culture, was able to live an entire day on solar power. And they're just getting better, better and better and better. Wouldn't you think 30 years from now, we could have an economy run on renewable, clean energy? Well, the President Obama's administration has its way. It's basically just allowing us to continue, and to continue in a pretty dangerous spot. Now, I'm going to be a delegate soon in Virginia. I oppose offshore drilling off the Virginia coast. I don't want that oil coming to our shores. Plus, we don't need it. As I said, it won't come online for 30 years anyway. We don't need that oil. We have a glut on oil. We can support renewable energy. But how much worse? How much worse would it be to have an oil spill out under the Arctic ice, or what's left of the Arctic ice? Pretty bad. And to help just tell you how bad it is, I've invited a guest that I want you to hear from. His name is Frank Matzner. He's the director of the Beyond Oil Initiative for the National Resources Defense Council. He has been a senior policy analyst for agriculture and the environment at Taxpayers for Common Sense. He was the associate director of government affairs at NRDC. This is a guy who spends all his time trying to explain to politicians the dangers of doing exactly what President Obama has agreed to do. So why is our president doing this? He's a lame duck. He's a liberal. He's an environmentalist. Why would he agree to do this? Why is Hillary Clinton standing firm? I'm going to ask him those questions when we come back. If you want to call in, it's 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. We'll be right back with Franz A. Matzner, the director of the Beyond Oil Initiative, right after this. Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine. My guest is Franz Matzner. He is the director of the Beyond Oil Initiative for the Natural Resources Defense Council. Mr. Matzner, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you. Glad to be here.
So I'm glad you're here, too. I'm still trying to understand President Obama here. The Royal Dutch Shell has been asking for permission to drill in the Arctic since 2009. You'd think, frankly, they should have asked a couple years earlier when they'd have a president that would be more likely to grant their request. But I thought President Obama was an environmentalist. What's his deal here?
Well, it's really hard to reconcile the president's decision to turn our last pristine ocean over to big oil and threaten our climate stability with the almost simultaneous and undeniably positive steps forward he's been making this month with the clean power standards and the methane emissions. It feels an awful lot like one step forward and one step back at best.
So here's what I don't understand. First of all, let's just talk about Royal Dutch Shell and its history. Many of us know what happened when BP was in the Gulf of Mexico, which took them, I don't know, it seemed like a month to close that spill. Maybe it lasted even longer. I would think that, one, the Arctic is a lot harder to drill in than the Gulf of Mexico, and two, that Shell is just as bad as BP when it comes to violations and things like that.
But, you know, there's a... I think harder and more difficult environment than the Arctic would be almost impossible to find. What we learned from the BP disaster is that these kinds of oil spills are incredibly impactful when they happen. But what we're still learning today is just how persistent the impacts are. The consequences are severe for the environment, for the biodiversity, for the economy, for the local populations that depend on a healthy ocean, and for all of the wildlife that depend on a healthy ocean.
Are we still suffering from the BP oil spill, which was back in, 2011? Is that when that was?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
How so? Four years later, how does it still affect us?
Well, what we're seeing is that the impacts on fish and shellfish wildlife are persistent, we've got more conclusive evidence coming in on the impact it had on dolphin populations. Previously, there was some speculation about whether there was a direct connection between the BP spill and die-off. Die-off is a technical word which means dolphins dying. It's not a pleasant thing. And it's really troubling to see how long lasting these impacts are. So if you translate that to the Arctic, where we're talking about some of the most challenging environments in the world, freezing temperatures, gale force winds that can show up in seconds, storms that can last for days, a very short drilling season, huge icebergs and floating ice that shift on a daily basis. This is not a safe place to be doing what is already a highly risky venture. And the bottom line is there's no proven technology to deal with a spill in the Arctic. We already know that in much, much more hospitable territory, we can't clean up all the oil from an oil spill. So what are we going to do when, and it's not an if, when there's an oil spill in the Arctic?
I was just looking at the BP oil spill. It was 2010, so it was 5 years ago, and it took them almost 3 months to cap it. And that's in the summer in the Gulf of Mexico. It's maybe a little hot, but at least they have plenty of movement. Sure, there's some winds and all. Nothing like below freezing temperatures in the Arctic, where you could have oil spilling out in the ocean underneath mountains and mountains of ice. Because correct me if I'm wrong, even when there is an ice cap in the Arctic, and we've talked about the fact that global warming has damaged a lot of that ice cap, but even when there is an ice cap, that doesn't mean it's frozen all the way from the top down to the bottom of the ocean floor, right? I mean, there's still water under the ocean floor where oil could seep into. It'd be practically impossible to get.
Right, that's one of the nightmare scenarios that those of us concerned with Arctic drilling have been contemplating and trying to get the story out about, is when you have an oil spill that goes beneath the pack ice, cleanup could be impossible forever, and then you're disrupting whole ecosystem chains, including whale habitat that's unique in the world. This is a a foolish and risky venture just from the perspective of an oil spill risk, let alone the damage that we could be doing to our climate by pursuing this new massive store of carbon pollution.
We have such a fragile environment up there already. We already have polar bears who are nearing endangered and list because they have nowhere to hunt, because they have no ice caps to float on to get seals, which is what they've been doing for tens of thousands of years. So, an oil spill could just wipe them off the planet. I mean, that we'd be done.
Yeah, I think that, the polar bear populations, walrus populations, this is a crossroads for a lot of species, migratory birds. This is, I keep using the word unique because there's no other really great word for it. This is a unique and very vibrant, vital ecosystem that's being put at threat for oil that even the industry says will take 15 to 30 years to come online. So if we think about that, if we're going to put this last pristine Arctic Ocean at risk to drill for oil that'll take 15 to 30 years to come online, if we're still dependent on burning that oil 30 years from now, it means we have cooked the planet and have failed to address climate change.
Yeah, we've got more serious problems if we're still dependent on fossil fuels 15, 30 years from now. What I don't understand is President Obama on this. Now, he's been kind of inconsistent, correct me if I'm wrong, on offshore drilling. He has declared certain areas off the coast of the United States to be closed to offshore drilling, other areas open. Why this area as opposed to, again, I'm against it wherever it occurs, but why is he opening up the Arctic when he won't open up other areas along the East Coast?
Well, I think that we need to look at what's on the table right now, and you've raised a really important point. It's actually not just the Arctic that the Obama administration is proposing to open. They're in the middle right now of developing the next five-year leasing plan that will determine what areas of our publicly owned offshore resources are going to be turned over to the oil industry and which ones not. And in that five-year plan, the Arctic and the Atlantic coast are being proposed for more drilling.
See, what I don't understand is this. I get, a member of Congress supporting this kind of thing, not because it's a good thing to do, but because these big corporations can give massive amounts of money to their campaign. It's all pay to play. It's all what I call legalized bribery. I get it. I don't like it, but I get it. I understand why politicians need money, and I understand why they're willing to sell their soul and their constituents and their environment to get it. What I don't understand, and this is what I want you to help me with when we come back from break, is why President Obama, a two-term president, a lame duck president, if he'd done it his first term, again, I wouldn't have liked it, but I would have understood it. Oh, he wants money for his reelection campaign. What possible good could he see from granting this lease, which you point out is on public lands? It isn't like, World That Shell owns the land and they're trying to drill their own property. He's giving up our lands for it. And for what? For a little bit more oil in 30 years? Really? Good thing Hillary Clinton's against it. I want to find out more about why Obama's doing it when we come back. We'll be right back right after this. Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine. My guest is Franz Matzner, the director of the Beyond Oil Initiative for the Natural Resources Defense Council. We're talking about the somewhat inexplicable, in my view, decision by the Obama administration, an administration that has very much led the way on climate change, both in the United States and to some extent around the world, to basically use the breakup of the Arctic ice because of climate change to allow a fossil fuel company, Shell Oil, to do more drilling, which will create more climate change in a very complex and dangerous environment. That's, of course, totally apart from the damage caused by oil spills. And it's not like Royal Dutch Shell has this perfect safety record. It's not like they can say, we're not BP. We've never done this kind of stuff before. In fact, just in 2012, they failed to monitor the movement of a 30-mile iceberg into the drilling site. Oops. Oops. Now, you know, the Titanic was moving. Their drill site wasn't moving. The Titanic presumably didn't have a 30-mile iceberg. Presumably, it sort of came to them all of a sudden. What the heck was Shell doing? Why did it get in trouble before? Could this kind of thing happen again? Friends, let me ask you about the incident that happened in 2012. Exactly what happened to Royal Dutch Shell and this iceberg?
Well, you know, you've basically got it right already. Shell had a series of errors, it would be hard not to use the word incompetence that led to the kind of accident that is endemic to oil drilling. It's not just Shell. You know, these accidents happen. We've seen more and more oil spills just in recent months. There was an oil spill this summer in Santa Barbara. There are leaking oil pipelines across the country. We have oil trains exploding across the country. Drilling, producing, burning, and transporting fossil fuels is inherently dangerous and inherently risky. So the accidents happen everywhere. What makes this doubly confounding when you look at the Arctic is what we talked about at the earlier session, is that in the Arctic, when these accidents happen, there's no proven technologies to clean it up. The impacts are going to be severe, and they're going to be impacting one of the most fragile and important ecosystems and pristine ecosystems that we have left on the planet.
What's interesting about this is that unlike the Gulf of Mexico, and remember, it took BP in perfect summer conditions in the Gulf of Mexico about 3 months to cap their oil spill. By the way, there's still evidence that it's still leaking. Not leaking as bad as it was before it was capped, but it is still leaking down there. That was under perfect conditions. In order for Shell to even make money, assuming they do everything perfectly up in the Arctic, there's not even a port nearby. I mean, at least with BP, you could just go to New Orleans or any of the many cities, Pensacola, Mobile, Pascagoula, Mississippi. There's a whole bunch of Gulf Coast cities where they could, at least once they got the oil, send it to be refined, the refineries down there, and send it off and sell in the oil market. In the Arctic, they have to go 1,000 miles, because there's not a single port up there in Alaska. They have to go all the way down to the Aleutian Islands. If you look at a map, that's 1,000 miles away. That's the difference between Washington, D.C. and, not New York, because New York's closer. Let's say maybe Boston. No, it's farther than Boston. Maybe Miami. It's a long voyage, and they need icebreakers to do it. You got to get your icebreakers working. I mean, just to imagine, forget an oil spill. Just the ordinary business, if there are no issues, they got to get their icebreaker working. They've lost icebreakers in the past. Some of them have, in fact, failed, right? I mean, they've had trouble with icebreakers.
They just had a problem with one of their icebreakers, which was one of the delays in the current drilling, exploratory drilling cycle that they're commencing now. We've already seen that the accidents happen the last few weeks. They had an icebreaker en route. They took it through too shallow a channel. It slashed the bottom of the boat, and they had to send it back to Portland to be fixed. So, what you're pointing to here is absolutely right, Mark. There's no safe way to do this. The accidents will happen. They'll be severe, and the venture itself is a huge investment of public resources over a long period of time.
How would they even make money doing this?
Sorry.
How do they even make money doing this? I mean, right now, oil prices are at their lowest level in 5 or 10 years, a very, very low level. Markets are falling. There's a glut. Saudi Arabia, which produces its stuff in a desert on land, not in the Arctic, at much, 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 much cheaper rates, is basically glutting the market, along with Iran, which is about to start selling again after our deal with them. Plus, we got shale oil in North Dakota. Canada's doing its tar sands. it seems to me, and I don't like fossil fuels, but even if I liked them, there'd be a lot cheaper, easier ways to get oil out of the ground than underneath the massive ice pack in the wilderness of the Arctic, 1,000 miles away from civilization. Why are they even doing this?
It's one of the worst places on Earth that we could be seeking energy security for all the reasons that you're talking to. And it's the first and best place where we should be stopping and drawing a line against making the challenge of climate change worse. We've already discovered 4 times as much fossil fuels as the best science says we can burn if we're going to avoid the worst aspects of climate change. That doesn't include Arctic or Atlantic oil.
Now,
so we're already in a hole.
You're basically a lobbyist. I say that without insult, because there's lobbyists for good things and lobbyists for bad things. And I, as far as I'm concerned, the Natural Resources Defense Council is a good thing. But it's not just prior to working there, you worked for Taxpayers for Common Sense. You're used to going to politicians and telling them what you need and why. So please give us some insight into what President Obama's deal is. Why, of all places in the United States, of all places on the planet, why is he authorizing this?
It's honestly hard to understand. The only justification for drilling in the Arctic is that it is to buy the oil industry's line that we have to start drilling now because we might need this oil 15 or 30 years from now. And if you believe that, then you're betting against
his own
American innovation. You're betting against the current trajectory of our oil demand.
Right.
We've actually turned the corner. You're betting against increased fuel efficiency. You're betting against any new policies being put in place. All the things that, on the other hand, on the other side of the fence, so to speak, President Obama has been pushing forward: renewables development, the clean power plan. So there is an inherent contradiction here that is inexplicable.
Has anyone at NRDC had a chance to talk with President Obama to hear what his deal is, why he's doing this?
The only answer that I think anybody's received on this is something like this. It was put forward in a Twitter forum: if we don't drill there, someone else will.
Okay. Well, let's approach that. Let's give them the benefit of the doubt. There are 3 other countries I know that have access to the Arctic Ocean. There are 3 other countries that border the Arctic Ocean. One is our ally Canada. One is our ally Denmark, which controls the island of Greenland. And one is our, if not our enemy, let's just say our not very good friend, Russia, which controls maybe half the Arctic Ocean. Are the Russians doing it? Is that why we're doing it?
Well, right now, no one else other than Shell is pursuing Arctic drilling, which in and of itself says something. And the other oil companies have backed off of pursuing this, inherently risky venture. Shell itself is having some trouble with its own shareholders, who are pointing out that pursuing this economically risky and environmentally harmful exploration doesn't comport with their stated positions on climate change. So even the argument that someone else will is fairly spurious. And it also begs the question of, if we don't drill in the Arctic, it's not going to make the other countries any, more likely to drill.
No, in fact, I think they're more likely to drill if we drill. I could see the Russians saying, well, the Americans did it, I guess we should do it. It's almost like we're beginning an arms race where we don't need to. We have an oil glut. That's the thing. We have an oil glut.
And you've raised the oil glut point a couple of times, and I think that is the most one of the most important facts in this whole story. We don't need this oil now. Even if we could get it on, immediately from the Arctic, which we can't, or which Shell can't. So we don't need the oil now. Over the midterm, there's, other oil that's already been discovered that, could fulfill whatever demand we need. Should all that be burned? Absolutely not. But there's far better places that have already been despoiled that we can be extracting our oil from. And over the long term, the science says that if we're going to fulfill our obligation to the next generation, we simply can't continue to go to the ends of the earth to extract every drop out and burn it. So there's no need to go into the Arctic to drill for this oil and put our ocean and our climate security at risk.
I'll tell you this. I'm willing to give up every polar bear in the Saudi Arabian desert and let them do it there. I'm fine with that. I don't think there are that many. But it's not just that. We've been drilling in North Dakota. We've been drilling, obviously, in Texas, Louisiana. And solar energy, wind energy, geothermal energy, these technologies are getting cheaper and cheaper and cheaper. Cars that can run on batteries are now available, and they're getting more and more inexpensive. Isn't there reason to believe that 30 years from now, that renewable energy might just be cheaper than, heck, just the insurance cost? I can't imagine any insurance company stupid enough to insure what Shell wants to do in the Arctic. I mean, how many trillions of dollars would that cost, and how many billions of dollars in it, just in insurance, just that cost of doing it? It would seem to me that the cost of solar or wind or geothermal would be a lot cheaper, particularly in 30 years.
The growth of renewable energy has been exponential. It surpassed everybody's assumption. In 2012, the EIA estimated, you know, what we would have in 30 years of solar energy. We've already surpassed that estimate today by 227%. This just illustrates how fast and how exponential this growth is and how unexpected it is. So the pundits, even the people who get paid to analyze and predict what's going to happen, have been consistently wrong. So if we're going to look 20 to 30 years out from now and assume a scenario where we're still dependent on the same exact demand for oil as we have today, that assumes no new technologies, no new policies.
Yeah.
That no sane betting man would take that bet.
No, it really doesn't. I'll tell you something. As an environmentalist, obviously I understand the strong opposition to it. But even just on basic economics, business sense, I'm not even sure Donald Trump would support this because it doesn't make sense. As a business venture, I don't know what the goal is. I don't know how they can make any money doing it. And if they could, heck, it's on state land. They should be paying us for it. It doesn't make sense. I'm going to take another break. When we come back, I want to talk about Hillary Clinton and her break with President Obama in opposing the Arctic drilling. Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I am your host, Mark Levine. My guest is Franz Matzner. He's the director of the Beyond Oil Initiative for the Natural Resources Defense Council. We're talking about President Obama's plan, or at least conditional plan, because it's not resolved yet, and that's important, to allow Arctic ice drilling. It's interesting that President Obama's plan was attacked on the right for being too restrictive. We had members of Congress, Republican members of Congress in the House and the Senate, argue that there was too much regulation, and the idea that you need to have a rig in the Arctic ready to make a relief well in case of a blowout was completely unnecessary. Congressman Don Young of Alaska accused the administration of hysteria with its Arctic rules. I wonder how he'd feel about that once his state gets swamped. I remember Bobby Jindal, governor of Louisiana, who's now running for president, by the way, complain about all the restrictions and regulations out there in the Gulf. But as soon as the black mess started to tar his state speeches, he was demanding, why hasn't the government cleaned it up already? kind of inconsistent. Hillary Clinton has broken with the president. She's made it very clear that she opposes the Arctic drilling. What does Hillary Clinton know that President Obama doesn't know? Well, for one thing, she is running for president. But for another, I guess my question to Franz is, were you surprised by Hillary Clinton's forthright stand one day after the Obama administration went the other way?
You know, I think that what's illustrated by Hillary Clinton, and she's not a statement, and she's not the only one. We just today see Senator Harry Reid echo the comments that this is not the right decision for the world. There are many others, including Bernie Sanders, Senator Bernie Sanders. I think that what what's being reflected there is the growing public recognition that we simply cannot have an energy policy that's divorced from our climate policy. Climate science isn't a lunch buffet where you get to walk down and say, well, I like that part, I don't like that part, I like that part, I don't like that part. We have to follow the science, whether it's the Environmental Protection Agency doing the right thing and President Obama doing the right thing to back the EPA cleaning up pollution from power plants, or whether it's the Department of Interior deciding how we're going to use our publicly owned lands.
Here's what's interesting. So the Department of Interior did an analysis on the Chukchi Sea, which is the sea north of Alaska, not a place many of us go on vacation. They found there was a 75% chance of a spill greater than 1,000 barrels should an oil company like Shell produce oil under these leases. A 75% chance of a spill greater than 1,000 barrels. That's not a 1% chance or a 10% chance. That means it's probably going to happen. And yet the same Department of Interior made its decision. How much of, I guess we can't know how much of this was politics, but it does seem extraordinary that President Obama, who's been criticized on the right for being too anti-American oil companies, would do such a thing. Again, if Dick Cheney did it, I get it. But President Obama, I still have trouble. What are the Republicans saying? Are there any Jeb Bush or Donald Trump or any of the others? Have they commented on this?
I'm not aware of the specific comments of, you know, about what we do know is that, you know, the Republicans, as you pointed out, from Don Young, Senator Murkowski, have a track record of, supporting oil development. That's not universal. We're starting to see along the Atlantic where there's now new calls to open up those regions for the first time since the 80s. To the risk of oil spilling that Republicans and Democrats alike are starting to stand up and oppose the exploration because of the high risk and impact it could have on coastal communities and the climate. So I think that, you know, the question looking forward, and this is an important aspect of this, is that what we're seeing Shell do now, which is dangerous, is the exploratory phase. But there is a long haul between, even if they find oil, there's a long haul between drilling an exploratory well and being able to, to begin full-scale production. There's a whole process to get permits and a plan in place for full-scale production. They have to build a lot of infrastructure, and the writing's on the wall, both for the economic reasons that you pointed out and for the growing public pressure against these kinds of explorations that you're seeing reflected in Hillary Clinton's statements and Senator Reid's statements and in the massive demonstrations against this that have been sweeping across the country, that whoever the next president is, they're going to be under enormous pressure to accept the science, heed the science, and show greater leadership across the board when it comes to how we exploit the limited fossil fuels that we can afford to burn if we're serious about climate change.
French, we only have about a minute left, but ultimately what you've just said is the good news, the news that this isn't over yet. If this was a conditional approval, this was an exploratory, an initial approval, we're not done here, right? I mean, President Obama or the next president will have to give additional permits before this is allowed to happen, which means that we, the American people, can still stop it before it happens. Am I right?
That's absolutely right, and the pressure is mounting. We've seen that from the Kai activist movement, and this come out of Seattle and across the country. Hundreds of thousands of people internationally and domestically are putting pressure directly on Shell. There's, as I said, a long road to hoe for Shell to get this oil to market.
So if you want to stop this, go to nrdc.org. I'm sure they'll help you stop it. Franz Matzner, director of the Beyond Oil Initiative, the Natural Resources Defense Council, thank you for sharing your wisdom with us. And folks, let's get together and let's stop this madness before it's too late. This is Mark Levine. I'll talk to you next week.